Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking just around the telecom sector, but at that intersection where it also comes into property rights because of, you know, building towers. It's one of those things that's become quite an issue with some of the pronouncements from the government and certain, you know, individual rights groups now coming out, going up against it. And to help us to maybe understand everything that's going on, all the different technical terms, we are joined by Dominic Kao, who is a regulatory specialist at consulting firm Ellipsis. Dominic, greetings to you.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning to you, Mudiwa.
No, thank you so much for joining us. I think before we actually get into the crux of the issue, just as Ellipsis, can you give us just a little bit of background just around what the firm does and what type of work you guys are into?
Mudiwa, since 2006, 2007, we have been an active consultancy on the regulatory side, the legal policy side of the telecommunications industry. So Ellipsis is essentially lawyers who specialize in understanding the telecommunications policy, legislative and regulatory framework. We do work for the Internet Service Providers Association, the Wireless Access Providers Association, the Digital Council Africa, which is formerly the FTTX Council Africa, the Wireless Application Service Providers Association, and many international and local telecommunications service providers, ranging from the very big like Google and some of the satellite companies to your very small localized wireless internet service provider or ISP.
And with all of that experience in mind, I think, you know, now that we've understand what you've done, now we can get into the crux of the matter. There were some issues that, some pronouncements just recently, just around, expansion of networking towers and networking infrastructure. And then people, you know, now feeling that some of their property rights would perhaps not be respected. Could you just give us some insight into what's actually going on, who said what, and who's understanding who and who's misunderstanding who?
So firstly, the broader context. We, as a country, we know, and this has been accelerated by COVID-19 and lockdowns and national disasters, that we have to embrace this future digital world. So the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies speaks about the fourth industrial revolution, about digital economy, about upskilling the labor force. And all of those things are a path for South Africa to reach a better future, but we're only going to get those things if we have the infrastructure which is capable of allowing those services to be provided to people and allowing people to use them. So there's a very real focus from the presidency down through the department, through COGTA and SALGA, on ensuring that we get this infrastructure in place, particularly in those areas where South Africans currently don't have access to mobile or fiber or fixed communication of a sufficient quality and which is affordable for them to use. You think about the number of children going to school, the number of people who are still working from home. There's a very real need for us to make sure we have the infrastructure which supports that. That's not something new, but something which has been accelerated dramatically over the last 6 to 9 months. And part of that acceleration is looking at this interface between licensees, so those in the telecommunications industry who hold licenses issued by ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, to lay down infrastructure, to provide services over that infrastructure. And on the other side, property owners, both public, mainly in the form of local government, municipalities, and private landowners. So what happened recently, which has really brought this out into greater scrutiny, is the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies published a draft policy for the rapid deployment of electronic communications facilities and networks. And that's essentially a document which is long overdue. It was first contemplated in 2006. And it's an attempt on the part of government to bring greater balance to this interaction between licensees on the one hand and landowners on the other hand. And it's unfortunately an incredibly complex area of law. This interaction in terms of the law is very, very difficult to understand. It's a matter where disputes have been taken to the High Court, to the Supreme Court of Appeal, and even to the Constitutional Court twice. So the minister was coming in, taking all of that into account and saying, here's a policy which sets out a framework for that interaction. And it's really unfortunate that a lot of what is in that policy framework has been misunderstood. So in big picture terms, we see two major objections to the policy. One is an objection based on health concerns, which is around a Vodacom or an MTN, an MNO coming onto someone's property and erecting a 5G base station, which people are concerned about the health impacts of that base station on both themselves, their family, and the surrounding community. And the second major objection was around property rights, and understandable in that we've for a long time had a conversation about expropriation without compensation. So there were many people who didn't really read the policy, engage with it, but took the position that it amounted to expropriation without compensation. So, Madiwa, if I can just quickly address those two, the second one first. The draft policy is extremely clear that compensation is in fact payable to a landowner where a licensee comes onto that land and uses it for a purpose which disrupts the rights of the landowner. So think about two possible scenarios. One, I order fiber at my home. The OpenServe comes along. They've terminated fiber to a little manhole outside my house, and they now want to dig a little trench through my garden to my front door in order to install that last little bit of fiber which connects me to OpenServe's network. They dig a hole, they put the fiber in, they close up the hole. In 1 week, I've forgotten it was ever there. There's no deprivation of my property rights in that situation. And the policy says in that situation, I am not going to be entitled to compensation. But if a mobile network operator comes onto my land and says, right, I am now going to build this 5x5 square meter base station, it's going to take up that proportion, you're not going to be able to use it, that's a very real deprivation of my rights as a property owner, and I would be entitled to compensation. How much compensation? The policy doesn't say. It talks about reasonable compensation. It talks about the landowner not being able to exploit the licensee and the licensee not being able to exploit the landowner. And ultimately, it throws the detail of that question down to the regulator, ICASA, which will, over the next year, have to develop a set of regulations which clarifies how that compensation will be calculated. The last point on that is, if you, as a landowner, are unhappy with this licensee who now says they have the right to come onto your land, you're unhappy because you think there's a health issue, you're unhappy because you think that you're not being offered proper compensation, you absolutely have the right to object and to dispute the actions of that licensee. If you lodge that dispute, all work must cease immediately. and it must remain suspended until such time as there is actually a resolution to the dispute. So just to give you the sense that this policy is not all about loading rights onto licensees at the expense of landowners, it's very much about trying to get a balance between those rights of those landowners and the broader public interest in ensuring that we have the necessary infrastructure to build our new digital economy upon.
Dominic, you know, sorry to interject, but before, you know, I guess we continue, I think one of the things we might benefit from or, you know, to understand is what has generally been the process for the building of some of these base stations, particularly on private land, before this draft policy came about. What was the normal process, and what are the key differentiators, if any, you know, that the new draft policy proposes as a deviation, perhaps, from what the process has been all along, if at all?
Okay, so in the normal course of things, and we're talking about private land, let's say, for example, Telkom decides it needs better coverage in a particular area of Cape Town. It is unable to secure public land to build a base station on. It identifies suitable private land in the back garden of a landowner in Cape Town. The process would then be for Telkom to approach that landowner to negotiate the lease of the portion of the land that it requires for its base station, and that would include the compensation which would be payable. So at the moment, Telkom certainly does not have a right to come onto that land, erect a base station, and ignore the landowner completely. Telkom would also have to engage with the City of Cape Town as the municipal authority in terms of zoning laws. So it would need to make sure, if this property is zoned as residential, that zoning must be changed to commercial for at least a portion in order for Telkom to lawfully be able to erect this structure. So that would require some kind of public participation process, allowing people around that structure the opportunity to object or support to it. How different is that from what's being proposed? It's not particularly different at all, except that it formalizes that interaction. When we move away from private land to public land, there's a completely different process. And there, generally, let's say if Vodacom wants to build a base station, or Metro Fiber Networks wants to roll out fiber using municipal land, they would have to apply for what is referred to as a way leave, a permission from that local authority in order to dig up the pavement to lay the fiber or to erect a base station on that land. And those processes, the interaction between licensees and public landowners, those are not affected by this policy at all. That's a completely separate process, which, like I say, has been the subject of a number of court issues, and I think is now reasonably settled in terms of how municipalities and licensees interact.
So with that in mind, then, where is the actual disconnect where people feel like there's some type of expropriation of land without compensation and all of those issues now coming in?
Madiwa, it's a great question. You know, a lot of it is because, to take a slight tangent, of how we consume media these days. So we look at headlines, we perhaps look at the first couple of lines of a story. We don't actually engage with the substance, and we certainly don't read the draft policy that the story is reporting on. And I think it's unfortunate that with this particular draft policy, the first media stories that appeared used a particular headline around policy gives mobile networks right to erect a 5G base station in your backyard. And a lot of people are reacting to that. So that was picked up by the petition site Dear South Africa, which is a site which says, right, government has this up for comment. This is what we think. We're giving South Africans an opportunity to lodge their comments. And there were more than 60, 70,000 comments against this policy lodged on DearSouthAfrica.com, many of which are simply reactions to the headline which people saw. Like I say, there is recent history and talk of expropriation without compensation, so people quite glibly slipped into that narrative. This is just another instance of government taking away our rights. If Vodacom come into my backyard, they'll be met by my dog. There were even comments, you know, about may the hand of the Lord strike this policy of the devil down. So a lot of really hard feeling. And as I referred to earlier, you know, some of that is around expropriation without compensation, but equally people are concerned about health. So as soon as you bring this word 5G in, there's a lot of noise out there around 5G causing coronavirus or 5G causing cancer. And I'm certainly not an expert in the medical side or the effects of electromagnetic radiation. But, you know, all I would say there is that people should realize that there is a global body which looks at safety measures around emissions of this kind of equipment. They set particular standards. Those are set in international regulations. South Africa very much follows those international safety standards. When a device is going to be used in a radio network in South Africa, it has to be submitted to the regulator ICASA for safety testing. Even your phone, you know, your mobile handset, which gives off that kind of radiation, if you open it up, you'll see inside there is a little ICASA type approval sticker, which testifies to the fact that this device is one which has been found to be safe for human use. So accepting that, you know, these things may play out over lengthy periods of time, the science right now says we really shouldn't be overly concerned about 5G networks and the health effects on humans.
And so what's now the message going forward? Because is there any engagement that's perhaps happening between the public and government just to clarify what is and what is not being said here? As you said, it is a draft policy. So does that mean it's open to public comment? And also tied to that, if it's really not changing much, then, you know, are we really going to see whatever policy ends up coming out really being that much different from what has been set forth?
Great questions. The document was open for public comment. That period has subsequently expired. I know that the minister has instructed people in the department to prioritize this, to move it along. There are a lot of submissions which have to be gone through. So at the moment, we're in that phase of listening to what the public have had to say. And then the next step would be the publication of a final policy. I would anticipate we'll get that before the end of March next year. And a policy document is just a policy document. You know, it doesn't really have any substantive legal force and effect. So it's just a framework for the further development of the law. So the policy by itself will change nothing. Where things will start to get interesting is where ICASA then, following on that policy and the instructions it receives from the minister, starts to develop a set of binding regulations which talk about things like compensation, which talk to the notice which must be given to landowners, the manner in which a licensee must conduct itself. And it's only at that stage that we'll really get down to the nitty-gritty and whether this is going to be a useful intervention or not. I have mentioned that it focuses more on the private side, and I think it's true to say, and a fair criticism of the policy is that from an industry perspective, they want help on the public landowner side. So we know that, you know, there's an uncomfortable arrangement between local government as custodians of the assets within a municipality and with their own constitutional obligations, and licensees on the other side. And a lot of that has to come down to the capacity of municipalities to actually process wayleave applications and to interact with licensees in a manner where they have sufficient competency and capacity to actually do this. And that's a major challenge. I know that the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies has recently signed a memorandum of understanding with Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs that will then loop in the South African Local Government Association. So there are real attempts to build bridges between the different government departments involved from government side in giving the necessary permissions and to sort out the red tape that is slowing things down there.
Dominic, as we come to the end of this discussion, you know, if you'll indulge me, I just want to maybe get your thoughts around how you think this conversation will develop over time, especially in a 5G sense, because for most consumers or most ordinary South Africans, we understand the network towers, at least in a metro, as being the giant towers that are sort of disguised or made to look roughly like trees in some sort. The giant, I think, grayish, blackish towers that we see around some of the cities. But with 5G in mind, and just considering that is the type of technology that's likely to see an even greater proliferation of towers in whatever form they are in, how do you see that discussion or that conversation evolving over time, especially from a consumer point of view? Because we're likely going to have way more of these little masts or towers going up in and around some of our areas.
That's absolutely correct. And maybe just worth reflecting on why we're getting all those towers. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're demanding them. We're demanding, as consumers, reliable, affordable communications. We're demanding the latest shiny things and access to the cloud in an uninterrupted manner. So there's a lot of the drive for this technology is from the consumer side. A lot of it is from the industry side. They're trying to sell, you know, the latest iteration, and there's always a degree of hype involved with that. But at the end of the day, as we demand more, those base stations do need to come closer and closer together. We start to get mini base stations, you know, every 200 meters, every 300 meters. The majority of those will be situated on public land. So examples would be, if you look at what Boomercam is doing in Johannesburg, they're putting up poles with a camera on them about two-thirds of the way up, and you know, realizing that Boomercam are in a dispute with the city of Joburg, nevertheless, the intention of putting that network of closely spaced poles up is one, to have the camera network, but two, to provide space for future 5G radio deployments. So firstly, you know, from a private landowner side, most of the action here is going to take place on the public landowner side. It's not going to be a licensee coming and saying, can we put a 5G base station onto your private property? If that does happen, then this policy will kick in and those issues of compensation and health will come up and will be dealt with in terms of the policy and the regulatory framework. We need to also understand that it's not just about the radios. 5G is far more about the underlying fiber optic network. So it's about making sure that all of your base stations have a fiber connection to them, which greatly increases the capacity of that base station and allows more and more people to do more and more things around that base station. So there's going to also be a lot of digging up, which takes place in order to ensure that that happens. If you, Madiba, if you look around the world, there are 5G deployments taking place in various countries. Quite obviously, China, looking particularly at the United States of America, one of the major battles there is actually around the aesthetics. We know that we have these towers that you referred to disguised as trees because people have aesthetic concerns about towers. And one place where we as South Africans need to be very careful is making sure that we have some kind of standards for deployment, which dictate to the mobile networks and others what these smaller towers are actually going to look like, how they will be installed, how they merge in with the built environment, so that we don't end up with what you're seeing in certain parts of the United States, which is it's really a dog's breakfast of wiring and base stations from competing operators all over the place.
So that's been us with Dominic Kao, who is a regulatory specialist at a consulting firm Ellipsis, giving us some insight into what it means to build networking infrastructure in South Africa and some of the concerns that consumers have been raising just around the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies' draft policy around the rapid deployment of networking infrastructure to cope with the increased demand for, internet usage, communications, and mobile data. It is that trade-off that Dominic is just highlighting to say that as consumers demand more connectivity and more use of the internet on mobile devices, for example, and newer and faster technologies, there is that trade-off of, more land or more space being occupied by some of this infrastructure, some of these towers, especially, with 5G and the fact that you're going to have maybe more dense networks, and that might actually result in more digging happening because base stations will, in the best case, need to be connected using, fiber. And also just talking about the fact that there isn't a lot that's different from the way that things have normally run versus what the draft policy is doing. And he's just encouraging people to go and actually read through what the policy is actually saying. But that the policy is one thing, but rather what the actual regulations will be when the policy actually comes into effect. So that's been us. Thank you so much to Dominic for just taking his time to talk to us about this important issue.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
A very important discussion that we've just had with Dominic around building of networking infrastructure versus property rights. And this is one of those things that is going to be ongoing. I think we all remember a stage at which there was a lot of digging that was going on around South Africa and other and a number of different countries, and that was to lay down a lot of fiber at the time, and that was the type of investment which has actually helped South Africa to get to a stage where 3G connectivity, 4G connectivity, and I guess to a lesser extent, fiber connectivity has proliferated in a much greater way. But the actual process of getting some of these things done is still a big issue, because if you have tunnels, going across your streets and highways, it does cause commotion, it does cause some damage, and just depending on whose land or whose property the stuff goes on through and under, all of those issues become important in how the government is interfacing between citizens and between the different network operators. Because at the moment, like what Dominic was saying, this is a big push for the country. We've heard about the spectrum allocations that are set to come in the coming few months. President Cyril Ramaphosa is quite focused on increasing connectivity in the country, because it is a way to actually help the economy to actually grow and to help South Africans, you know, to keep up with the latest developments and technology, and to help with education and business, commerce, all of these different issues. More importantly, it just also signals the fact, because it also just signals the fact that people need to engage a bit better with some of the content that's going out, either in the press or some of the engagements with the state. Instead of just looking at a headline or a couple of lines, people need to really engage, because these things are important, right? With 5G, for example, there's going to likely be an increased rollout of some of these towers, for example. How do those discussions develop? If people aren't engaging, if people are simply just looking at headlines and drawing conclusions, when in actual fact, like what Dominic was saying, the actual process that's always happened versus what's happening now, there's very little difference, except that the policy now is focusing a little bit more on private property versus public property. All of those issues, people engage with what's going on, because these are the communities. It is the country's networks. It is the country. It is consumers that are going to be taking advantage of these issues and this connectivity going forward. And then on the last point is, it will be interesting to see how the business or, you know, properties and rates around some of these things actually develop over time. Because if you need increased network coverage, I'm just talking more specifically on private property, are the rates actually going to go up or down, just depending on how many towers are being built going forward? So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaete. I've been Mudiwa Gava of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Now, this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.